Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! 'Cause all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes you have.
All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Words from the Word. I pray that you can hear me well. I am en route, and I am grateful for technology. I would like to do something a little different this morning. I can definitely get us started. I'm going to put a couple of people on speaker, and I would appreciate, I think, what we want to do, because we're entering into the time where the Lord starts to speak to Job. He speaks to Job for over 6 months, between 6 months to a year, has been in this calamity of trials, and he has been tested. He has been found to fall short, and Elihu has come forward, the youngest of them all. There were three friends and Elihu, who didn't say anything originally because he felt he was the youngest and was giving respect to the oldest. And as it is our culture, you feel that wisdom comes with age. But as the three friends show, it did not. And the wisdom was actually given divinely to Elihu because Job wanted a man of clay to intervene for him, because he felt he would understand, and God did not. And so we get to the point where last week we talked about what Elihu did and what he said and how he said it, how he addressed the issue according to God's perspective, not his own, nor his own wisdom, nor his own understanding. But as a young man, God gave him the understanding and the wisdom from a God's eye view to share with Job, to prepare Job, to prepare Job. And Job was given the reasoning of what he had done, and now God was going to address Job. This, to me, is the most exciting part of the Bible, other than when Christ rose from the grave, because God came down from heaven and he spoke directly to man. And he, what did he say? He testified of his own self. And he does it in such a way that leaves you speechless. And if you allow the imagery to form in your mind, and that's why we want to read the 38th and the 39th verse actually today. We're just going to read it. But when you hear the imagery of the words of God describing himself and asking Job over 80 questions, where were you? And we see that that's not an unusual thing for God, because he asked Adam, where are you? He asked Cain, where is your brother? And it wasn't questions that he needed the man to answer, but he asked these questions so man could understand the position he had found himself in. And sometimes when someone asks you a question and you ponder the answer, you realize what the answer is. Now, God knew the answer to the question. And so when he asked Job some 80 questions, he wasn't expecting Job to answer it, because actually Job didn't know the answer. And when he asked him, he knew the only person that had the answer to these questions was himself. And so it is a part of the Bible where we get to hear God's account of himself and what he has done and the vastness of it. And even in that, appreciate the words that are coming from his spirit to Job. There were a few things in the scriptures that I felt was very pertinent, very eye-opening for us. It's like every time God asks man a question, it is not because he doesn't know the answer, but that man might see something. So when God asks the question, he needs for us to see something. And that something is always going to have something to do with ourselves and him. Because he's a relational God, and he starts with many questions. When you think about him, you realize the kind of God that we serve. All of the godly inheritance of heaven shouted for joy when God created the earth, and God shared that. That wasn't anywhere else in Scripture, but God in dialoguing with Job, and I don't know that it was really a dialogue so much as it was a confrontation. And as he confronted Job, he even shared some of the mysteries of heaven that were unknown to this point, which lets you know the relationship that God had with Job was a good one. It was a good one, and that God, though he was angry at what was being revealed in Job's spirit, he knew that that would transform Job into the person that God knew he was. And as that transformation happened, he wanted to make sure that Job knew, I love you. I love you so much, I'm going to tell you some of the mysteries of heaven. As he does, he shares with Job, you said this about me, and you said that about me, but. And so I want us to today start with chapter 38 in the book of Job. We'll read chapter 38 and 39, so we need some scripture readers. I think it would be amazing. We can hear it out of, you know, a version of the Bible like the Voice, or I don't even know if the Message, there's that Message translation, but just one of the newer versions of the Bible as well as the original. So let's get started to hear what God has to say. So do I have volunteer?
So which one is your good morning? Which one is your preference? I mean, what do you want to hear first?
Oh, let's do old school, then go new school.
So old school is King James?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'll go old school because I just happen to have a King James Bible. I'm like, I have to go find something else, but on my phone. So you want to start in the 38th chapter?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
That's why I was calling you this morning.
You know what? I saw that you called after I came back up, but I was getting coffee. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Go ahead.
No, I'm waiting on this.
Okay, so be our professional. Gospel, well, it's not the gospel. Scripture reading from the book of Job, beginning at the 38th chapter, the first verse. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." So I will demand of thee, and answer thee. Excuse me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. He's like checking them. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors when it breaks forth as if it had out of the womb? When I made the clouds, the garments thereof, and thick darkness, a swaddling, and for it, and break up for it any decreed place, and marked out for it my bound, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shall thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud ways be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned, and then my Bible says changed, as clay to under the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the light arm shall be broken, and the high arm shall be broken. Excuse me. This Bible has tiny little presses. Has thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the death? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? The doors of the shadow of death. Wow. I never heard that before. I don't think I've heard that verse before. Hast thou perceived the breath of the earth? Declare, if thou knowest it all, where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof, that thou should take it to the bounds thereof, and that thou should knowest the path to the house thereof? Knowest thou it, because thou wast then born? Or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light parted, which scattered to the east wind, or the east wind scattered upon the earth? Who has divided a water course for the overflowing water, or a way for the lightning of the or thunder? Is it of thunder or the of thunder? Excuse me. Caused to rain on the earth when no man is on the wilderness, wherein there is no man. To satisfy the desolate and the waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth, hath the rain a father? Or who has gathered drops of the dew? Out of whose womb came through the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who has gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of the cluster of Pylades? Or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in this season, or canst thou guide Crustus, the bear, with the sons, her train? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Can thou set the dominion thereof on earth? Can thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Can thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom? Or who can say, the bottles of heaven? Or who can stay the bottles of heaven? When the dust groweth into hardness, and the clouds cleave fast together, wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lions? When they couch in their dens and abide in the covert, to lie in wait, who provided the raven his food when the young ones cry unto God? They wander to lack meat. That is it in its entirety. I apologize for it being kind of choppy, kind of hard to see the words. But now that's the third devil, so the entire 38th chapter. Did I lose Overseer? Anybody still out there? Anybody?
Hello?
Okay, there's somebody. That was the 38th chapter. I don't know if, Overseer, are you still there?
Can you hear me now, Elder?
I can hear you. Yes, I can, Apostle.
Oh, my God.
I didn't recognize
okay,
your voice first. I can hear you.
Okay, thank you. All right, so does someone have it in a more modern version, more contemporary version, the passion, the voice, anything like that?
I can probably get that for you in a passion. I mean, I would just get, or, I don't know, does the passion do, oh.
It does.
Excuse
some.
Me.
Oh. It does some. So it's very hard to...
Okay. How about, what would be NIV or maybe Message?
Message. That's my message.
Okay. Give me 1 second. I'm trying to pull it up on my phone as I talk to you.
So as Elder was reading, I'm just going to fill in for Overseer so we can get her back. One of the things that 38 chapters, and Elder, when you get it, just chime in, begin
okay,
to talk about God, you know, kind of breaks this silence, and the Lord began to make these inquiries, obviously that he already knew the answer for, but equally as important that he needed man to know that in all of the wisdom and knowledge that man may obtain, man doesn't have answer to be able to respond and or rebuttal with God. So, you know, this 38th and 39th chapter is enlightening from the perspective. It's just almost like, you know, God is spitting these serious bars of truth here. You know, and you're just like, wow.
Absolutely.
You have it?
I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just kind of like, well, all of that come from, and it makes you kind of step back for a minute.
I do have the message.
Okay, well, let's hear what the message.
That might be much better, because it's much easier to see than I did. I do read a little bit better than that, but I'm sorry. 38, and now finally God answered Job from the eye of the violent storm. He said, why do you confuse the issue? Why do you talk without knowing what you're talking about? Verse 2, pull yourself together, Job, up on your feet, stand tall. I have some questions for you, and I want some straight answers. Like he's being interrogated. Where were you when I created the earth? Since you know so much, who decided on its size? Certainly you know that. Who came up with the blueprints and the measurements? Verse 6, how was its foundation poured, and who set the cornerstone? While the morning stars sang in the chorus and all the angels shouted praise, who took charge of the ocean when it gushed forth like a baby from the womb? That was me. I wrapped it in soft clouds and tucked it in safely at night. Then I made a playpen for it, a strong playpen, so it could not run loose. Verse 11, and said, stay here. This is your place. Your wild tantrums are confined to this place. And have you ever ordained morning, get up, told dawn, get to work, so you could seize earth like a blanket and shake out the wicked like cockroaches? Verse 14, as the sun brings everything to light, brings out all the colors and shapes, the cover of darkness is snatched from the wicked. They're caught in the very act. Verse 16, have you ever gotten to the true bottom of things, explored the labyrinth, caves in deep ocean? Do you know the first thing about death? Do you have one clue regarding death's dark mysteries? And do you have any idea how large the earth is? Speak up if you have even the beginning of an answer. Do you know where light comes from and where darkness lives, so you can take them out by the hand and lead them home when they get lost? Why, of course you know that. You've known them all your life, grown up in the same neighborhood with them. Verse 22, have you ever traveled to where snow is made, seen the vault where hail is stockpiled, the arsenals of hail and snow that I keep in readiness for times of trouble and battles of war? Can you find your way to where lightning is launched or to the place from which wind blows? Who do you suppose carves canyons for the downpours of rains and charts the routes of the thunderstorms that brings water to unvisited fields, deserts no one ever lays eyes on, drenching the useless wastelands so they are carpeted with wildflowers and grass? And who do you think is the father of the rain and the dew, the mother of ice and frost? You don't know for a minute. Imagine these marvels of weather just happen, do you? Can you catch the eye of the beautiful Pleiades sisters or distract Orion from his hope? Can you get Venus to look your way or get the Great Bear and her cubs to come out and play? Do you know the first thing about the sky's constellations and how they affect the things on Earth? Can you get the attention of the clouds and commission, a shower of rain? Can you take charge of the lightning bolts and have them report to you for orders? What do you have to say for yourself? who do you think gave weather wisdom to the Idis or the Abyss, Idis, and the storm savvy to the rooster? Does anyone know enough to number all the clouds or tip over the rain barrels in heaven? And when the earth is cracked and dry, the ground baked hard as a brick, can you teach the lioness to stalk her prey and satisfy the appetite of her cubs as they crouch in their den, waiting hungrily in their cave? In the 41st verse, and who sets out food for the ravens when the young cry to God, fluttering about because they have no food? So that is the 38th verse out of the passage. That makes a big difference. I mean, some of the stuff I didn't understand.
I don't do spoken word or know anything about spoken word or anything like that. But when I hear it read from the version you just read it, it's just kind of like sitting in a spoken word set and just sitting there with your mouth open like, oh, wow, he did blasting. Making a statement that cannot be refuted. Like, there's nothing you can say to that. You cannot clap back to that.
If you're right. None of it.
No, not one thing could you be like, yeah, I think I could say. Not one thing on his list has man or mankind attained to the power to be able to accomplish. So as I was just listening to that, it was just like, that's phenomenal. That's the God. That's God. God and God alone. All right.
I find it very interesting. I don't know what they call this kind of verse, like Old English in the King James,
right.
So how they put that stuff together. But even just the wording, you know, because sometimes just the wording of things in the Bible, it's like, okay, that seems awkward, but there's no other way. You can't find any other loopholes like that are, you know, or something. I mean, I'm just pulling something
that's
out of my neck. But sometimes the way they state it, it's like that's a very convoluted sentence, but it's no way to mistake what they're talking about, you know, with the words. And I think with this one, even as I was looking, just the first, this is just the very first verse of the next one. It says, do you know the month when mountain goats give birth? Have you ever watched a doe bear her fawn? You know what I mean? Just kind of like, what do you really know? And when I think about what do we really know? Nothing. Like, none of those things I know. None of those things. And even the ones you could know. If you knew something about, I don't know, agriculture was food, whatever you call animals, husbandry or something like that. You know, and even if you knew it, you still wouldn't know the date. You know, you still don't know when it's given birth. You know, it's impregnated and it's going to give birth and it's due. But, you know, even with that, you still don't know when, you know.
So I think it's interesting because it is on the backdrop of that we then question God, like, why, or when, or how long, or we offer our own input and or suggestion to him about a better way to handle and execute.
Well, possibly you don't think that that's just our normal, just our humanness, you know, when we're feeling either something happened unjust or something, that's just the human nature, like, Lord, why? You just really couldn't be your plan because, you know, we can line up how many things we feel is negative about it or, you know, or are negative about it. I don't know. That's always been a point for me. Like, people say, don't question God. But I'm thinking he God, so he already know I got a question, like whether I say it or not. You know what I mean?
He should be prepared to give me the answer since he knew I had a question. But nevertheless, because I don't think Overseer would want me to respond that way on this particular platform. I am definitely of the mindset that when I hear what you, and I've read this, I've taught this class, I didn't read it the way you just read it. I am of the mindset that to part my lips to question the sovereignty of God after he just laid out his resume,
it's foolish, right?
Yeah, you know, look, and I'm not somebody that's really big or say, ooh, I'm wrong, but, you know, I probably should just kind of take my hands off and kind of be like, you know what, you may be the expert in this. I may just need to back off, because clearly you bring some things, you created the platform, so who am I to question how you're going to execute from the platform?
Yeah.
Clearly,
it is convicting. I mean, and just reading this, because I know I had a bunch of questions and I done asked them and had all kinds of answers. Yes, no, thing you upside your head, whatever, over the years. But it really is convicting to kind of read this. It's like, well, you know, that's really kind of stupid. Why would thinking that you know better, you know, because these things are so elementary, you know, and they're so perpetual. You know, and they are perpetual, not so perpetual, that, somebody has to be doing all these things. You know, this is not random. This is not a big bang. You don't get, you know, when you start talking about the constellations, can you get this one to turn and wink at you? You know, can you shift Venus? Can you, even though we're shooting things into space, trying to move things around as of late, you know, with these asteroids and stuff like that, you know.
I mean, even all of that at best is exploratory, because the moment he wills it to be or not to be, it has to yield and obey. So, you know, while we're trying to figure out something, he has already declared it to be or not to be. So, you know, like you said, it is very convicting to think that in our arrogance, we take opportunity to offer up a suggestion of a better way to do.
Yeah, I guess arrogance, that's the word, because it really is arrogance.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what just gave me about me. I'm just doing me right now. All right, let's do it. Let's read chapter 39. I know there's some other people on the line who's interested in doing chapter 39. Old school and then new school.
I mean, I'll continue if nobody will volunteer. 39 is short.
Okay, well, look, it looks like...
No other takers?
And I'm not even sure who's on the line, so...
39, this is King James. Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Or canst thou mark when the hinds do calve. Can thou number the months that they fulfill, or knowest thou the time when they bring forth? They bow themselves, they bring forth their young ones, they cast out their sorrows. Fourth verse, their young ones are in good liking, they grow up with corn in the open field, they go forth and return not unto them. Who hath sent out the wild ass free? Or who hath loosed the bands of the wild ass? Whose house I have made the wilderness and the barren salt land his dwelling? He scorneth the multitude of the city, neither regardeth heed the crying of the driver. The range of the mountain in his pasture, and the range of the mountain is his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. Will the unicorn, and then in parentheses it says, the wild ox, be willing to serve thee or abide by the crib? Can thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow, or will he harrow the valleys after thee? Will thou trust him because his strength is great, or will thou leave thy labor to him? Will thou believe him that he will bring home thy seed and gather it unto thy barns? Gavest thou the godly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them? She is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God has deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. What time she lifted up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and the rider. Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder, quivering or shaking mane? Can thou make him afraid to leap as the grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils snorting is terrible. He paused in the valley and rejoices in his strength, and goeth out and goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear and is not affrighted, neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattled against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swallowed the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha. Ha, I guess, okay. Or hey, I don't know, H-A. He saith among the trumpets, ha, ha. And he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and of the shoutings. Doth the hawk fly by the wisdom and stretch her wings toward the south? Doth the eagle mount up at the command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. From this she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she.
Wow. Definitely need to read that in another version.
Yeah.
And I've read this
in the message, it says, verse 1, do you know the month when the goats give birth? Have you ever watched the doe bear her fawn? Do you know how many months she is pregnant? Do you know the season of her delivery? When she couches down and drops off her offspring, her young ones flourish and are soon on their own. They leave and don't come back. Who do you think set the wild donkey free, opened the corral gates and let him go? I gave him the whole wilderness to roam in, the rolling plains and the wide open places. He laughs at his city cousins who are harnessed and harried. He is oblivious to the cries of the teamsters. He gazes freely he gazes freely through the hills, nibbling on anything that is green. Will the wild buffalo condescend to serve you? Volunteer to spend the night in your barn? Oh, goodness. Can you imagine hitching your plow to a buffalo and getting him to till your field? He is hugely strong, yes, but could you trust him? Would you dare turn the job over to him? You wouldn't for a minute depend on him, would you, to do what you said when you said it? The ostrich flaps her wings futilely, all those beautiful feathers, but useless. She lays her eggs on the hard ground, leaves them there in the dirt, exposed to the weather, not caring that they might get stepped on and cracked or trampled by some wild animal. She is negligent with her young, as if they weren't even hers. She cares nothing about them. She wasn't created very smart, that's for sure. Wasn't given her share of good sense. But when she runs, oh, how she runs, laughing, leaving horse and rider in the dust. Are you the ones who gave the horse his prowess and adorned him with a shimmering mane? Did you create him to prance proudly and strike terror with royal snorts? He paws the ground fiercely, eager and spirited, then charges into the fray. He laughs at danger, fearless, doesn't shy away from the sword. The banging and clanging of quiver and lance don't faze him. He quivers with excitement at a trumpet blast, races off at a gallop. At the sound of the trumpet, he neighs mightily, smelling the excitement of battle from a long way off, catching the rolling thunder of war cries. Was it through your know-how that the hawk learned to fly, soaring effortlessly on thermal updrafts? Did you command the eagle's flight and teach her to build her nest in the heights? Perfectly at home on the high cliffs, on the high cliff's face, invulnerable on pinnacle and crag. From the perch she searches for prey, spies it at a great distance. Her young gorge themselves on carrion. Whenever there's a roadkill, you'll see her circling.
Okay. I didn't even know he was talking about the horse, some of those verses. I mean, when I read it again, then I realized he was talking about the horse. I just couldn't figure out what that was going. But you know, when you read it in the message, you get a, for me, I got a better understanding of that.
Oh, without a doubt. Because don't you wonder, when you read that and you think about the book that it was in, if you didn't know you were just reading the Bible, would you expect that chapter to be a book in the Bible?
No, because it doesn't seem like it has anything to do with God per se, or salvation, or any of those things. Even the one before it, you know, I mean, I know it was saying, where were you? But this one even the more so, because it's dealing with animals. The other one in dealing with creation, is one thing, but then when you start talking about the, you know, I mean, not that we know any more about creation than we do about animals, but maybe some people do. But to me, it just keeps reiterating, you don't know nothing, okay? You don't know nothing about nothing. You can't do nothing. You don't make nothing happen. You know, and even when I ask you, there's nothing you can say. It's like, you know, what can you say to any of these things? What the horse does, what the ox does, what the wild ass does, what the eagle does, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, even what the ostrich does, which is a interesting thing, I really didn't know they left their eggs on top of the ground.
Right, it was, and those are very interesting animals to make reference to, when you think about the time. But as I was listening, it was like if somebody just started arbitrarily reading that, I would not necessarily know, just based off of the words they were saying, that that was an excerpt from the Bible. And yet, God in his sovereignty saw fit for it to be placed in the Bible, which means there is an eternal message in that dialogue that we need to extract from.
Mm.
You know, so when I get that, and I was trying to focus, like, oh, my goodness, I need to look that up for myself, because where is she going with that? Not making it up, because I know you read it, but it's like, where are we going with that? What, Lord, what is it that you're really saying? And then I have to stop and remember, this is God talking, and not just some random thoughts in someone's mind.
Right.
Wow.
Okay.
It sounded like some random thoughts, like, somebody is seriously tripping today. You know, they have one. So, like, okay, they'll really go all in about these. And then you stop and go, oh, this is God. This was on his mind. He saw fit to have this pen and then record it in the Holy Scripture. This is the Holy Scripture. And so then what is it that I am to hear and to receive from that? Because that's just as powerful and as pertinent as John 3:16 or, you know, any other, you know, verse of the Bible. And so I think it becomes our spiritual responsibility to go, okay, now what is it that I should know or learn about God based off of that passage of Scripture? How is it that the eyes of my understanding should be enlightened? To what degree? What insight did that chapter just give me about the sovereignty?
Hello, Apostle, and good morning, everyone. When I just heard that, I was like, I've read Psalms all the time. But to me, it seemed like I hadn't read that one again. And I said, wow, I get off the phone today. I got to word such and understand this from beginning to end, because it brings about, and I'm like you all, Elder Deborah, as well, that where did, I don't remember reading this one, you know? And you know, I know I've read the Psalms 130, you know, all the Psalms, but this one didn't stand out. And I'm like, okay, I need to take each verse and not digest it. I think it's exegesis or whatever, but understand, because it read more like a book when you're reading it, versus a Bible in the a book in the Bible, you know. I mean, not a book in the Bible, but a chapter in the Bible. And I'm like, okay, we've been studying on animals and being here in Stowmont, Georgia. You see deers all the time, and they can leap. And I remember when Elder Arlette spoke on how, you know, they can go, I think, up to maybe more than 12 feet. They can jump. And just seeing, then it was talking about buffaloes and every other donkey or whatever animals. And I said, okay, I got off the phone today after I finished my homework. I got to work on this because I want to know more. And interesting how God saw fit to put, because he created everything. So it was his purpose for us to understand why he put that that particular Psalm 39 in the Bible.
39, just so that everybody knows.
Job 39, that's what I mean. I'm sorry, I said it wrong.
No problem.
Job
no problem.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I'm like Minister Pat. So now this is my dilemma. Elder read Job 38 first, and we have this major conviction, like, who am I to question God and my arrogance and da-da-da-da-da. Then we go to 39, and it's like, why you put that in there? Now, we just got through talking about questioning God and understanding, realizing that our natural mind cannot necessarily discern that which is spiritual. The author talks about who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge. And then Corinthians and Galatians says, if any man thinks he knows anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. And so, you know, I'm sitting there going, and why is this even here? And what is it? You know, and so I'm doing all this questioning and missing the pertinent insight and revelation and wisdom that the words have been placed there to bring to me. And so I just thought it was interesting. 38, you know, we get this awesome resume and the Lord is doing his thing, right? And then we get to, you know, 39, and I'm like, okay, maybe you were just having an off moment. And you ever hear a speaker that they always are very prolific, and then one Sunday it's just like it didn't do anything for you?
Right. Yeah.
So you go from Job 39. Go on.
I was just going to say that, and I'm not trying to read this, but I just wanted to say it's interesting that after 38, 39, that just the very first two verses of 40 says, then God confronted Job directly and said, and now what do you have to say for yourself? Are you going to haul me? Are you going to haul me, the mighty one, into court and press charges? You know what I mean? That's just how the next... To me, so he was kind of like laying out his whole thing. Like, now, I told you, he didn't really tell him. He just kind of questioned him. Do you know all these things? So now, I guess, like, now that I have exposed you to you know, now what's your next step? You know, so what, you going to bring me to court? You know, like, you know, no, you're going to crawl back into a hole somewhere. You know, but when you said arrogance on that, and I guess, when I think of the whole idea of the weather thing and the whole animals, it's just a reminder that our sinful nature is that Satan wanted to be like God, like the Most High. So that whole idea that we think we can think on that certain level, question, have a dialogue about something that has happened or God has allowed to happen, yeah, really is arrogance. And, you know, I guess probably sin, maybe, I'm not really sure, but what I would call it, sin or just ignorance, to just question God. You know, I certainly don't think that we hurt God with our questions, but are we showing a lack of faith or a lack of trust in what he has already said, you know, that he would do for us? And to me, this just reiterates it. Like, you know, you can trust me. You know, I managed to keep the weather in check, you know. Who else does? You know, or the animals in check, you know.
Absolutely. He's like, the world in check. You don't trust that animal to do that job? It's like, OMG, really? You've proven your point. Thank you. You know, and I think it's interesting because Elder said, you know, we definitely not hurting God with our question, but are we putting limitations upon ourselves by the decision to question God? Like, so what we, I think we have to make an assessment of our heart and mind and how they're working in tandem with each other that brings the heart and mind to a place. I'm just going to say, after this one, can you read chapter 38? See, I'd have been all right if you read 39 first. I could have justified my questioning. But after you read chapter 38, and then to even wonder, okay, the Lord is seriously having some kind of moment today, based off of chapter 39. So he says, now, what kind of heart and mind can begin to question my foundational thinking because it does not line up with what your need or expectation is? And that's what we do. You know, that just didn't look like it fit in with what we think we know about God, and yet he's saying, and I'm so much more than you know, and what you know just begins to testify about the depth of what you do not know.
Wow.
And that's the first feeling.
And that's even in that 40 where Elder Deborah was reading, it go with, are you ready to shut up and listen, you know? And you're in
wow.
speech, you're in awe, words fail me. I should never have opened my mouth. I talk too much, way too much. I'm ready to shut up and listen. And how many times after we say something, we, wow, I shouldn't have said that, you know?
Oh, right. Well, Elder, thank you for such a good class, and thank you, everybody, for your participation. And I'm going to go get the overseer now, okay? So,
okay. Thank you. We made an hour.
Thank you. Yeah, we made it.
And
so,
some.
You know, I'm like, I can't get that. But okay, we're good. We're good. And, so enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We look forward to hanging out with you guys on Words from the Word on next Friday.
Okay.
Okay.
Overseer. Apostle, did you get my email? I sent you a late email.
You should have gotten one from me.
Oh, okay. I haven't looked today, so.
I
haven't
looked
in my phone. Okay. I will look.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Love you.
Have a great
day. Welcome. Have a great day.
God bless. Love you.
I don't even know how to turn her off.